The state assembly passed a set of bills this week aimed at dealing with a lack of workforce housing in Wisconsin. The Republican authors of the bill say the legislation will make it easier to attract more young people to live and work in the state. Others have pushed back on some of the proposals, saying they'll limit local control and could lead to higher taxes for some homeowners. We're taking a closer look at the legislation, along with what's driving a shortage of workforce housing in the state and other ideas for dealing with that shortage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is affordable housing an issue where you live? How much has housing factored into a job decision you've made? Do you want to see the state do more to address affordable housing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt Paulson is professor of urban planning at UW-Madison. Kurt, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, the pandemic didn't make this happen all by itself. You've been following housing shortages around the state for some years now, including a big report you did pre-pandemic. How big an issue was this?
So as you pointed out, we've had a housing shortage in Wisconsin for the last decade. We've consistently added more people and more jobs than we've added housing units. So eventually that produces a squeeze in the housing market, the shortage of housing, particularly in our counties that are growing in terms of jobs, has meant that you have rising prices, limited selection, and as you pointed out in your intro, employers are having difficulty attracting and retaining a workforce when housing is not available or is too expensive.
Did the pandemic add to that problem in any way?
Yes, it added in a couple of ways. One, of course, it slowed down production of new housing, and the supply chain shortage has meant that lumber, fasteners, drywall, appliances, everything you need to make new homes is either more expensive or less available. And of course, as people spent more time at home, the demand for single family housing skyrocketed. With low interest rates, many families looked to buy or to buy a bigger place, and the inventory was just not available. And that's why we see price increases for single family homes, some cases over 15% in the state in the last year. And then of course, on the rental market, most of our low and moderate income workers worked in industries like retail or entertainment and hospitality that really experienced significant income loss, job loss due to COVID, and real stress and strain in the rental market.
I've used the phrase workforce housing. Some of the lawmakers involved in the legislation have too. Is that a thing? Is that a slang term? Or does that actually have a definition in your line of work?
Well, so like everything, every term both tells you something and doesn't tell you something. I think when the legislature is using the term, they're referring to the segment of the workforce that makes a little bit too much money to qualify for most of our existing affordable housing programs, but not enough money to afford a decent quality home near where they work. So for example, if you think about the Green Bay area or Sheboygan or Appleton, we're talking about there a family that might make between $46,000 to $80,000, right? Those incomes are a little too high to qualify for most federal programs and not quite enough to purchase a home or to be able to rent close to where they work or where their kids go to school. Of course, people who make less than that are in the workforce, and so that's where the term can be confusing. And of course, seniors and children need decent, affordable homes to live in, and they're obviously not in the workforce.
We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, looking at a shortage of workforce housing in many parts of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Can you afford to live near where you work? Or if you had to move further away than you wanted to, maybe take on a longer commute because you couldn't find something affordable in that same community? Have you lived in a neighborhood for a long time and been astounded to see how much housing costs have gone up when your neighbors sell their houses? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt, let's get into what we're seeing in the state legislature now. The assembly passed a package of bills related to this. real estate groups and housing developers like what they're doing so far. Do you see bright spots here? Do you see things that could put a dent in this problem?
Yes. So a number of the bills could fall into kind of two buckets, each of which taken together starts to really move the state to address this issue. Of course, the shortage of housing has been long in development, and so we're not going to see immediate solutions. So one of the buckets of policies in the pieces of legislation are what we would call financing tools. So there's a expansion of a state housing tax credit to assist in the development of housing for the workforce. There's a sales tax exemption for materials used in the production of workforce housing. There was a bill that allows local governments to create what are called local housing investment funds, where they can capture some of the increased tax revenue from new housing development and use that to fund additional workforce housing developments and improvements in their community. And then the other financing package is a loan program for the rehabilitation of older housing. And one of the reasons that's important is we have a lot of older housing in the state. We haven't built as much new stuff. And so a lot of where people live is actually older housing. Then I would say the other tool or bucket that has some of the legislation in it is what we would call zoning reform, where Wisconsin is beginning to take the first steps to reforming some of our zoning policies, similar to what you're seeing in other states. So that particular bill would say to cities and villages, if you have water and sewer available, so you're an urban municipality and you can accommodate it, you need to have one of your zoning districts allow multifamily construction. And so that's really trying to get at one of the barriers to workforce housing, which is that we have many communities that zone most of their land only for single family housing and don't allow apartments to be built.
Now, zoning, I think people hear zoning and maybe eyes glaze over. Some people around the country are really excited about that thing you just talked about, that change to say you have to have some areas or maybe even an entire city that isn't just single family housing. You need to allow, it could be an apartment building, it could be a duplex, it could be you're able to rent out the upstairs space to, you know, a single person or something like that. How much of a difference could that kind of change make?
Well, so this piece of legislation, I think, is the first in a number of potential reforms, much like you discussed in other states. So, for example, in a lot of our communities where there is no apartments allowed to be constructed, this legislation could potentially lead to perhaps 1,000 or more apartments being built all around the state in our various cities. So that really begins to make a dent in the housing affordability challenge, because we know that when you build more housing, eventually that opens up the housing market in the middle and at the lower end. And the lack of this housing right now means that people who do have means, people who earn a higher income, are taking the available housing, and that squeezes out or prices out people on the lower end of the wage scale. Or as you pointed out, a lot of communities have a lot of jobs available, but they don't have a lot of housing near those jobs. So building more apartments and other types of housing, like, as you mentioned, duplexes, townhouses, those kind of granny flat apartments, mm-hmm. near where people work, should shorten commutes and also deal with the housing affordability challenge.
We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about workforce housing in Wisconsin, a shortage of workforce housing in Wisconsin, and a set of bills aimed at dealing with that issue that recently passed in the state assembly. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been an issue for you lately or in the past? Have you been able to find housing close to where you work? Would you want to live closer to your work if you could afford it? How much time do you spend commuting? How does that impact your life? Are there changes you think might help? Do you want to see communities change from allowing only, say, single-family residential housing in a lot of areas to having more of a mix, including multi-family units. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our look at what's driving a shortage of workforce housing in Wisconsin, some possible solutions to the problem, and action in the state legislature on the issue. Kurt Paulson with UW-Madison stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a shortage of housing, or at least housing that most people can afford in your neck of the woods? What are you seeing there? Have you had trouble finding a place you could afford to live, especially if you wanted to live near something, say the place you work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt, I see Wisconsin's housing agency has awarded money for state housing tax credits for 2021. Is that the sort of strategy you think can help things out?
Yes. So a few years ago, Wisconsin did create a state housing tax credit, really to supplement the federal housing tax credit program, which is the largest production side program for building affordable rental housing. And as I mentioned, that program has been very successful, building units around the state. And the legislation passed on Tuesday creates a newer version of that tax credit, specifically focused on those kind of middle-income workers. For example, as I said before, people who make between about $46,000 to $80,000.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Heather is with us in Madison. Heather, hi.
Hi. He actually just kind of said my comment, which is that a big problem with building multi-unit rental, low-income rental in particular, as a former village representative zoning person, is that the property tax, when you look at how we raise income for the state government to function, we largely do that through property tax. And this isn't just for so we fund our state government that way.
You're breaking up, Heather. I'm sorry about that. Do you have thoughts? What are some of the obstacles, Kurt, for a local government official in changing that zoning? Does it affect the kind of revenue they bring at the local or state level?
Right. So I think there's two things we have to say here, which is that renters actually do pay the property tax, but they pay it through their rent because the property tax is still assessed on the apartments. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes people assume renters don't pay the property tax, but they do. They pay it through their rent. And that's obviously how we fund local public services like education, police, fire, and roads. But what you hear from a lot of municipal officials is that they feel they are being squeezed with the property tax limits and the difficulty to maintain services without raising property taxes. And unfortunately, I think they feel the pressure to resist new housing development, thinking that new housing development causes the problem, when in fact new housing development, because it adds to the tax base, expands your ability to keep funding the local public services that you do have.
Thanks a lot for the call, Heather, at 800-642-1234. Sorry, we lost you there. Joseph is with us in Madison. Joseph, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Joseph?
I live here in the Madison area, and I too it's a struggle to find affordable housing. I have to live at least a 10-minute drive away from where I work, and I really wish there'd be a little more supply. It's really hard to find anything these days.
Joseph, have you been looking for, I don't know, months or years now to try to get closer to your workplace?
Yeah, a couple months now. Ever since the pandemic, I'd say, settled down a little bit, it's just been really hard. Everyone seems to be moving, trying to actually look at purchasing properties. That too it's a nightmare.
Joseph, thanks a lot. You said a 10-minute drive?
It's more like 15, 20, and I'd love it to be 5 or less. That'd be great.
Thanks a lot for that call. Kurt, I imagine there are some people in the same boat, but thinking, oh, I'd go for 10 or 15-minute drives. A lot of people face it, not to dismiss Joseph's problem, but a lot of people face even bigger commutes.
Right. And in particularly in here in Dane County or Waukesha County or the Milwaukee area, we see commute times of 30, 40, 50 minutes. You know, there's in most of our job centers, that's Dane County, Brown County, Waukesha, and Milwaukee County, there's far more jobs than there are housing units available. And so that does mean that people have to drive long distances. If you know, there's about 40,000 people who commute into Waukesha County every day to work. And some of them would prefer to live there if they could afford it. So I think the caller's point is exactly correct. When we think about the cost of housing, it's not just how much you pay in rent or mortgage. It's the time you have to spend on the road driving. And there are people who live an hour away because that's the only thing they can afford. So expanding workforce housing, especially in job centers, will allow more families to choose to be able to live closer to work and commute less. And that helps us all.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Talking about a shortage of workforce housing in Wisconsin, Kurt Paulson is with us with UW-Madison's Department of Urban Planning. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have an experience to share yourself. Kurt, you mentioned some of the main job centers in the state struggling with this issue. Does this shortage of affordable housing affect other communities, even if we're outside of those bigger urban or suburban areas?
Absolutely, and thanks for reminding me. You know, Representative Armstrong from Barron County reminds us that he has 1,000 jobs open in Barron County today. And Sheboygan County has 3,000 jobs open today. Marinette, La Crosse, all of these areas, even small towns, have jobs that are open, but they have difficulty recruiting workers because there's no housing available in those communities. And from the state's perspective, these are good jobs in production and manufacturing, and we would like to have people move to take these jobs, settle down, raise a family, build and invest in communities. But if there's no housing, it's really hard for employers to get the workforce that they need.
Is this something that the market would sort out eventually? If there's a lot of demand for housing in all the areas we're talking about, it'll come eventually? Or do you see a need for intervention, say, from the state government?
Well, I think the reason a lot of state governments have started intervening is they recognize that the market and some of the actions of local governments in zoning together have helped to constrain the supply. And the truth is that if you think about these 3,000 jobs that are open in Sheboygan County right now, the market is building housing, but oftentimes the housing that they can build is at a price point that is too high for the entry level of the workforce, for your teacher or your nurse or your entry level production worker. And we can start to bring down some of those costs by allowing a greater variety of housing, smaller housing on smaller lots through zoning reform. But what this legislation also looks at is that the costs of infrastructure help to drive housing costs high. And so some of these monies from local investment funds can be used to build the infrastructure that allows housing to be built, which helps to lower the cost, which helps to retain and recruit workforce to the area.
Bring on another caller now. Angela is with us in Fish Creek. Angela, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I live up in Door County where we're a very tourism-driven community. And this summer, there were so many businesses that had help wanted signs, reduced hours, lots of closures, despite having a peak tourism year because there were staffing shortages. And there have been people who have tried to create affordable housing opportunities for seasonal workers, and they've been shut down by the local community governments. And we need that kind of housing, but also year-round housing. We have an issue where any affordable house gets bought up with an all-cash offer and turned into an Airbnb or a second, third, fourth home for for people who don't stay year round, and it's really becoming a problem, and we need to find solutions to it.
Interesting. Angela, thanks for sharing that. Kurt, a lot of communities in Wisconsin depend on tourism. Is this a common story?
Absolutely. You think of any area that depends on tourism, and as Angela pointed out, second home development or Airbnb, you know, especially for a seasonal worker who's making maybe even $20 an hour, there's just no housing in Door County for those workers. So I think Angela said it best. And as a state, if we want to support our tourism industries, then that's where investment in affordable and workforce housing needs to work in terms of partnership with the businesses and the local communities. So when she talked about how people want to build this housing in Door County to house workers and local communities turned it down, that's one of the challenges we're seeing, is that local communities, I guess you could say it's short-sighted. They want jobs in their community, but they don't necessarily want the housing for the workers who fill those jobs. And ultimately, that's self-defeating, because if you ignore your workforce, as Angela pointed out, it's just hard to get workers to move to an area if there's no affordable housing.
Thanks for the call, Angela. And Kurt, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, with us to talk about workforce housing in the state and some new legislation in the state assembly.